Tim Harris is the CEO of Westgrow. Hello, Tim.
Hi, John.
Have you heard any informed speculation about which countries or when we might hear which countries?
No. There's been nothing official as far as I know. Some people were sharing the old list that came out just before lockdown when Home Affairs started shutting down certain countries that were starting to peak at that point. But that would effectively be fake news now. The international situation's changed dramatically since then. So I think if anyone's seen any lists until they come officially from government, I would treat them very skeptically.
Yeah, it's very difficult to decide which ones to allow. I mean, our tourism industry needs foreign visitors and pounds, euros, dollars, renminbi, and so on. But there are a lot of countries that are on an upward trajectory when it comes to positive cases at the moment, and there is a risk to allowing them in.
Yeah, I think it is. It's going to be a difficult thing to balance for the authorities. On the one hand, you want a responsive list that kind of deals with the situation as it changes, and we've seen how it can change quite radically in short periods of time. But at the same time, you know, people are booking travel months and weeks out. You really don't want the goalpost to be shifting regularly. So it's a very tricky thing to manage. I just hope, obviously, that we manage to balance these two priorities of safety and then getting international travelers back, because that is certainly for the Western Cape what we need now in order to ensure the survival of our tourism businesses.
Have you had any indications from your partners in our main tourism destinations as to the perceived or measured hunger to visit South Africa at this time?
Yeah, that is. There's been some really encouraging surveys done where, for example, Expedia did an analysis of the top five search destinations in Europe, Middle East, and Africa, and we came in the top five. There was the Travel Experts Tour Lane conducted a survey in July where they looked at where's the most coveted destination to visit post-COVID. And we came number one there after New Zealand, Canada, Costa Rica, and Namibia. So I think that those are kind of indications of the level of demand that we're all hearing anecdotally as well from our travel partners. And I hope, John, that that's partly because we do have quite a special space that we fill in the kind of global set of travel options. Obviously, we're a long-haul destination, and clearly there will be a, you know, you can call it rational or irrational fear of flying, of being in a plane. We believe that the protocols are in place to make long-haul flights safe. So we're comfortable promoting ourselves as a long-haul destination that you pretty much need to fly to wherever you're coming from. But certainly the prospects of more tourists coming on those planes is driven by, I think, what we offer as a destination, which is wide open spaces and really the opposite of over-tourism, but also a reputation for not only having tackled the health part of this crisis very effectively, but generally having very high quality, reliable infrastructure, particularly in tourism. And I think that's a sweet spot, if you will, where you're offering a sort of COVID-friendly experience with a great degree of reassurance in the health protocols. So that's why we're optimistic about being able to market effectively and get travelers back in this environment.
Tim Lee, most of our destinations, the vast majority of, not of our destinations, but of our source markets, don't forbid their citizens much from going where they want to. But that's changed. And I mean, I don't know whether the UK, whether France, whether Germany will be happy about their citizens coming here, because then their citizens will come back. And although our daily infection positive tests has come down from kind of 15,000 a day to under 2,000 a day, that's still 2,000 positive tests a day. So I don't know to what extent government attitudes towards visiting South Africa might impact on people's decisions, travel advisories and so on. I don't know to what extent people pay attention to those.
Yeah, look, I mean, we've got a long history of battling with travel advisories. What you find is that there's a kind of hairpin trigger. Whatever happens on the ground here immediately reflects in a bunch of travel advisories. And one of the things we do at Westgrow is spend quite a lot of time sitting with the consuls general and the ambassadors in making the case for reasonable travel advisories, because you often find really the reality on the ground here, whether it be safety or whether it be even the droughts and the availability of water. It took a long time to have an accurate reflection of the risk in those travel advisories. So, look, I think relative to other destinations, we're fairly used to fighting that fight, John. I think you're right. It might be, and it might be a factor that we have to deal with. It's not clear that it will be, though. We're in the sort of early days of international travel opening up.
Can I just read, Tim, because yep. This is pertinent. This is just in from a listener. UK friends who were coming at Christmas have just told us that their flights have been cancelled because the UK government says it discourages travel to South Africa. Now, the fact that I'm being told that doesn't mean that that has been accurately reported, but it does play into the discussion that we're having.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. We fortunately have a very open and amenable crop of consuls general right now in Cape Town. All of our major markets are represented by very capable diplomats who are very open to us, and we'll obviously be making those arguments, explaining the reality of the risks in the space. But as I said, John, you know, I think if you were a country that doesn't normally have to fight around travel advisories, this would be a big new hurdle to cross. Frankly, we do this all the time. Okay. I'm not saying it's not going to be something that we need to work on. I'm saying we're very used to working on these matters.
How important are the returning swallows to us, Tim? I don't know what research has been done to establish how many come and spend 3 or 4 months of the European summer in their homes in Cape Town and Somerset West and places like that, because they are more likely to want to come as soon as possible to get away from the oncoming winter in where they live in that part of their year.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, they've got a much more, much deeper understanding of the actual reality of the destination, of the risk profile. They would be much less susceptible to what we were just discussing previously in terms of travel advice. Certainly a hugely important part of the Cape Town economy, as you reflected. And we need to get as many of them back visiting their properties and staying here as long as possible as we can. But that, on that point, this is also a time, I think, now that you've heard the president making these very encouraging reflections on the importance of tourism and getting international travelers back, this is a time where we need to drive a strong reform on the visa front. Right. So it really has always seemed to us to be really crazy that we limit the amount of months that a swallow can spend here from Germany or the UK, bringing their pounds, bringing their euros, investing in property here. I think one of the things we're going to be talking to national government about now is visa reform, including around swallows, to take advantage of this challenge that we have right now to get international travelers back. This is the best time that I can think of to change some of these rules so we get more foreign exchange spent in the market and we start making it as easy as possible for high-spending tourists to travel to South Africa.
Tim Harris, the CEO of Westgrow. Tim, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon.